for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Shalom, and welcome to the Everlasting Nation Broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee. Now here's your host, IBJM Ministries Director, John Lawrence.
Greetings to our listening audience, and welcome to the broadcast today. I'm John Lawrence, your host, and today I thought I would like to talk to you about our spring mission trip to New York City. Of course, as you probably know, there are many, many Jewish people in New York City, probably close to 2 million in the metropolitan New York City area. And we go up there usually every year with a mission trip, and we work with one of our missionaries up there, Brother John Gibson, who's working in Queens. He's planted Shalom Baptist Church, and he has great work there. He has some 40, 50 people coming out to the church now, and a third or more of them are Jewish people who've been saved, even some unsaved Jewish people coming out. And he has a spring outreach that we participate in. So on May 25th, we'll be leaving here, and this trip will start on May 25th, go through June 2nd. It'll be one full week, and we will be driving up to New York City in a van from here, and Brother Gibson will be giving some training, and then we will work with him on the streets of Queens in New York City, reaching Jewish people with the gospel and inviting them out to some special events that he'll have in his church. You will be spreading the good news of the gospel through literature, tracts, invitations. One of the highlights of this trip is that it will include, on June 1st, the Celebrate Israel Parade in New York City, which is an annual event, and Brother Gibson will be giving out a lot of literature at that parade and using our team to do that work. So this will be an exciting time, and then there'll be a lot of work during the week around his church, just trying to reach out and canvass those neighborhoods. About 60% of that community of Rego Park and Forest Hills, where he is located, is Jewish. So it's a great opportunity to reach Jewish people. And of course, we are committed to equipping you to do that work. And Brother Gibson has been on the field now for almost 12 years, and he has had a wonderful work. He has a great way with Jewish people, and I believe you would learn a lot from him and then be able to see Jewish people touched with the gospel. Now, the price includes the transportation from Chattanooga here in Hickson to New York City, and then all your accommodations in a hotel there. There'll be two meals for you daily. There's going to be at least one day of some sightseeing around New York City, so you can see the city. And, of course, the local transportation to get to the different areas, all that is included. And the cost for this trip is a very reasonable price to enjoy a mission trip. Plus, the mission trip is only 1 week long, so if people have some time constraints, maybe college students, Bible college students, want to take a summer job, this trip, May 26th to June 2nd, will be early in the spring season, and so you'll be able to do other things for the remainder of the summer. Now, New York City, as you know, has actually been called the safest big city in America. The crime's gone down a lot. A lot of people are afraid of big cities, but New York is really a very safe city, Brother Gibson tells me. And you know, during the 19th and 20th centuries up there, millions of Jewish immigrants escaping from persecution and pogroms in the Soviet Union and during the Holocaust, they found a safe haven in New York City. Of course, tragically, this city, like many of our big cities in America, has been grossly neglected as a 21st century mission field. So we want to invite you to consider this trip. And if you would like to have a brochure, we have a very nice brochure with all the information. We also have an application you can fill out. We'd like to invite you to either write to us here at the mission or call us at area code 423-876-8150. Ask for Jennifer Beneke, and tell her that you would like a brochure for the trip to New York City. Thank you for joining us today, and now let's listen to Brother Mark Oshman as he brings today's Bible study.
Welcome back to our radio program. This is the second part of a multi-part series about the Bible nations mentioned in the Old Testament. Our current study continues with a brief look at the seven Canaanite nations that God dispossessed from the land of promise. These groups, as listed in Deuteronomy chapter 7, were the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The Hittites originally settled in the eastern portion of modern Turkey, incorporating a great deal of Asia Minor. This group gained prominence over large swaths of the Middle East due to their use of chariots in their military expeditions. In Moses' time, they dwelt in the mountains of Canaan. Not until the latter portion of the 19th century did archaeologists discover evidence indicating that the Hittites actually existed. Members of the Hittites often transacted business with God's people. We read about Ephron the Hittite, who sold land to Abraham so that the patriarch could bury his dead wife Sarah. According to 1 Kings chapter 10, Hittite monarchs paid tribute to the Israelites at one time. Perhaps the most prominent Hittite mentioned in the Old Testament was Uriah. He had a Hebrew name which suggested that he might have converted to Judaism. Uriah was part of David's intimate circle of warriors, known as his mighty men. He was perhaps best known as the husband of Bathsheba, the woman with whom David committed adultery. Now we look at the Girgashites. Some sources derive that name from a term meaning clay dweller. Girgashites descended from Canaan, Ham's grandson. They lived near the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee, and may be the ancestors of the Gergesenes mentioned in Matthew chapter 8. Now we turn our attention to the Amorites. The Amorites must be distinguished from the Ammonites. The Ammonites descended from Lot, who in turn was a descendant of Shem. According to Genesis chapter 10, Canaan, the grandson of Ham, became the progenitor of the Amorites. Thus the Amorites were one of the seven nations of the Canaanites. The Amorites had a reputation. They were infamous for their wickedness. In 2 Kings chapter 21, God decried the atrocities done by King Manasseh of Judah by stating that he was even more evil than the Amorites. When God told Abraham about giving his descendants the land of promise, a circumstance noted in Genesis chapter 15, God added this phrase, quote, "The iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full," close quote. Nothing about the Amorites indicated that they were any more, or for that matter less evil, than the other Canaanite nations. Thus God might have used the term Amorites in that section as a synecdoche, denoting one Canaanite nation as representative of all seven nations. Sometimes the Amorites did come into conflict with God's chosen people. On his deathbed, for example, Jacob spoke of a portion of land that he took out of the hand of the Amorite. The Israelites in the wilderness fought and killed Sihon, king of Hebron, and Og, king of Bashan. Both men served as kings over the Amorites. The Amorites possessed great military capabilities. In Amos chapter 2, God declared, quote, "Yet destroyed I the Amorite before them, whose height was like the height of the cedars, and he was strong as the oaks," unquote. In the 16th chapter of Ezekiel, God made a cryptic comment connecting the Amorites with the origin of the Jewish people. Quote, "Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite." That statement could not be true in the literal sense, since Abraham, the progenitor of the Jews, Abraham came from the lineage of Shem. Perhaps in that passage, God alluded to Abraham's close connection with Mamre, the Amorite, as mentioned in Genesis chapter 14. The term Canaanites might have functioned as an overall designation for those descendants of Ham who lived in the territory of Israel. Their boundaries, as denoted in Genesis chapter 10, ran, quote, "From Sidon, as thou comest to Gerar, unto Gaza, as thou goest unto Sodom, and Gomorrah, and Admah, and Zoboim, even unto Lasha," unquote. In other words, the homeland of the ancient Canaanites included present-day Israel and present-day Lebanon. The Canaanites frequently had dealings with the Jews. Some of those interactions were friendly. For example, Jacob's son Judah married a daughter of the Canaanite Shua. However, the Canaanites often waged war against the Jews, wars recorded in the books of Joshua and Judges. The Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Mark alluded to one of Jesus Christ's disciples, calling him, quote, Simon the Canaanite, unquote. That reference probably did not indicate the man's ancestry. Instead, the authors might have intended to indicate that Simon came from the town of Cana, which was located in Galilee. Note that the same individual, Simon, also bore the title of Zelotes, or Zealot. The Perizzites lived in the hill country of Judah and Ephraim. The compilers of Strong's exhaustive concordance indicated that the noun Perizzite came from a root that meant villager. According to the 9th chapter of 1 Kings, Solomon subjugated the Perizzites, turning them into slaves. The Hivites lived in the mountains extending southward from Lebanon to the hill country of Jerusalem. Their name might have had linguistic connections with the Hebrew word chava, which translates snake. Commentators have disagreed regarding where the biblical Hivites came from. Some of them say that the Hivites immigrated from Greece. Others contended that the Hivites were the same people as the Hurrians, an important ethnic group in the ancient Middle East. Yet other commentators argued that the Hivites came from Cilicia in Asia Minor. Genesis chapter 34 addressed the relationship between Jacob's progeny and the members of a Hivite colony located in Canaan. Shechem, a prince of the Hivites, had raped Jacob's daughter Dinah. Hamor, who was Shechem's father, asked Jacob to allow his son Shechem to marry Dinah. Dinah's older brothers, Simeon and Levi, offered to make an alliance with the Hivites, provided that the Hivites received circumcision. The Hivites agreed to this arrangement. 2 days later, Simeon and Levi came and massacred all of the Hivite men, including Shechem. When Jacob rebuked his errant sons with their treachery, they replied to him, quote, should he deal with our sister as with an harlot, unquote. The Jebusites were probably the original inhabitants of Jerusalem, which they called Jebus. According to the book of Joshua, they lived in the territories assigned to the other tribes of Judah and Benjamin. The Jews could not dislodge the Jebusites from any of their strongholds. According to 2 Samuel 5, the Jebusites bragged, quote, except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, unquote. The Jebusites remained in control of their capital city until the armies of King David, led by Joab, captured the city of Jebus. When they did, the Israelites renamed that city Jerusalem. Adonai Zedek, who was one of the most prominent of the Jebusite monarchs, led a confederacy of Canaanite kings into battle against Joshua and the Israelites. The latter forces defeated them in battle and put Adonai Zedek to death. Araunah, another Jebusite, sold his threshing floor to King David when the latter needed to make offerings to God during a plague that God had sent. God hated the Canaanite nations for their immorality. Because of those evil deeds, involving, amongst other things, child sacrifice, God said that the land itself rejected the Canaanites. God chose the Jews to execute his judgments on those Canaanite nations. In doing so, he commanded Israel to show the Canaanite nations no mercy or make any agreements with them. Needless to say, the Israelites failed to do so, to their ultimate detriment. Thank you for listening to this program. Please come back for future radio Bible studies about biblical Israel and her neighbors.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can write us at P.O. Box 1386, Hickson, Tennessee 37343, or call us at 423-876-8150, or you may also go online at ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.